So, this is episode 23 of the Radio Annie podcast for nerdappropriate.com. Because everybody silenced their cell phones.
What's a strong opening?
Yes, Facebook is totally fine. Facebook's allowed.
This is a social interactive podcast.
I'll manage the Facebook.
Yeah, you manage the Facebook page while we're...
Because I don't understand
Twitter. Our Twitter wall is right over there.
It's digital. We built a big digital Twitter wall.
You can't see it on the feed, so...
Don't break the
phone. So, hey, everybody.
How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right today. How you doing?
It was a busy week, man.
Yeah.
I had one of those weeks, too. It was crazy.
Wish I could say the same.
My boss had a baby this week, so I've been doing nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's excellent.
Pretty true.
No,
I'm positive that he had a baby. I was there. Okay. I watched. No, I'm kidding. I wasn't there.
I was going to say, you're pretty close with your boss.
No.
Hey, Matt, you want to come see birth?
No. But it's been relaxed. I mean, me and the guys at work have been getting the stuff done. And
cool. That's awesome.
You know.
I find out tomorrow if I have my job or not. I have my weekly or my yearly review.
I'm pretty sure we're going to renew your contract.
Thank you. Thank you guys for keeping me on. I really appreciate it. My other job.
We're just working out the final details.
Where I make about the same amount of money as I do it anyway.
Oh.
9 cents?
Yes.
Hey.
9 cents.
It's above 9 cents, all right?
Yes.
12.
Yes.
Well, that's exciting. I think they're going to keep you, I'll be honest.
Thank you for your vote of confidence.
Too much to worry about.
I told my coworkers today that if I do get fired, I'm going to pull a Ferris Bueller and, like, storm the school news and tell my story. Then I'll roam the earth as a nomad and spread my seed like Genghis Khan.
And like I have. Last week.
Indeed. So what about you guys? What have you been doing, Scott? Other than working a lot.
I put up a couple of our older podcasts this week, and
I saw that.
I've established an excellent workflow to accomplish that. And that's that in the room that I edit the podcasts, I have like an old PS2 hooked up to the TV in the den. So I just play God of War now. Because like this guy that I used to work with, when he like,
I love how God of War is part of your workflow.
Yeah.
So then,
well, this guy
subtract God of War.
Has nothing to do with editing the podcast.
Yeah. When this guy moved out of this office and he graduated, he's like, I have a PS2 and some games. Do you want it? And I was like, sure. And I just like opened up the box and I was like, oh, God of War. I don't think I've ever played through that one before.
Yeah.
So
is it a slim one?
No, it's just like a fat one with a like a modem on the back. So it's like the network kit.
Sweet.
Hey, man, it works. You know, like
how far
he's gonna
you
play
the,
some
the
SOCOM one?
Yeah, I'm playing just God of War
Killzone.
One. I do have the first Killzone as well.
First God of War is brutally hard.
Yeah, it's ridiculously hard.
I can't get past one part of it.
I got
first
to,
Killzone was good. I liked
it. It was ambitious.
I inherited that and Tekken Tag and
Tekken Tag.
Yeah, right.
Like, I think I might have some PS2 stuff that's actually
pretty
good.
I still have
good.
Your Ring of Red.
Ring of Red's a great PS2.
That's actually a game that you need to play.
It's all about
its strategy.
A woman.
Don't. Just leave it alone. Just you're going to go too far.
The pilot's a mech. That's all I'm going to say.
It's like alternate history of World War II with walkers instead
of
tanks.
That's
which is true.
Okay.
I thought he was going somewhere else, but that is true what he said so far.
They're called Wanzers.
Ring of Red was phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a turn-based grid battles.
That's cool.
Really, really good. I Max. Always wanted them to make it like
is it like front,
I totally
front
forgot
mission?
About that
like
game.
Like a front mission
yeah,
kind
like
of
front
game?
Mission.
I totally
like
forgot
front.
About that
it
game.
It didn't make good. I
that was a great
it.
Game.
It got too hard near the end.
Yeah, same
here.
Then I sold my PS2.
I don't remember if I ever beat it or not.
I was also tempted to drop like some serious coin on Shadow of the Colossus and Ico until actually you saved me on that one because
the
like
HD
the,
out
the,
HD,
the day
yeah.
before I did
yeah.
it was like you sent me a post that they're going to make them both on one disc in HD and I was like okay cool
they're postponed now I just read it
that's okay I'll wait I mean because to buy them on eBay now they're both like you know 40 to 60 bucks
yeah,
each
yeah.
so
oh wow
games that I always meant to play but never got to
Mike was in here for the first time in ages
so that's the haps I'm going to try to get another podcast up before the end of the week.
Cool.
So that would be 18,
18.
I think.
Yeah.
We just gotta refresh that there doohickey.
We should be caught up in no time.
How about you, Derek?
What about me?
What'd you do this week?
Played video games.
What'd you play?
I've been playing Just Cause 2.
All right.
So,
and the Gears of War 3 beta.
We talked a little bit about Just Cause 2 offline, but IRL, yeah. But that's one of those games, like, in the series of, like, Mercenaries or The Saboteur or... Like, how does it stack up to those kinds of, like, rampant destruction kind of games? Where you're supposed to, like, flatten all the buildings and blow up all the tanks and all that.
I would put...
I thought it was totally destructible, but not the point. No.
Or, like, Red Faction?
It's not totally destructible, which is kind of been let down.
Oh, really? Because that's what it was kind of sold to me as in marketing.
Well, you have the chaos that you create, mm-hmm. which is a term for destroying all of the military's hardware, I guess, because there's, like, specific buildings that you blow up. It's kind of like Red Faction.
It's open world, though, right?
It is,
okay.
Yes. And, yeah. and from the start, it's open. So you don't need to unlock areas, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I spent, like, maybe 2 hours just flying airplanes around yesterday.
That's awesome.
So
that's odd.
Yeah.
But it's like,
ironic. Are you just missing it? You're like, I'm just going to get in a fucking video game
yeah.
and fly some planes.
Yeah, yeah. I know I play teaching games all the time. I'm like,
well,
I'm just gonna,
I get on and I design websites.
When you have a job, it's like playing video games. It's
that's true. Yeah, except for you only have one life in the real
yeah.
in the real version.
It's true. So
you
I
can't,
don't,
and unlike Just Cause, you can't just leap out and use your grappling hook and
yeah,
let the plane
use my
crash.
Maybe
it's. I would say it's a little behind Mercenaries. I think Mercenaries, the gameplay is more refined.
Really?
I mean, I really.
Dude, Mercenaries.
Mercenaries
2
was awesome because
oh,
like because of the helicopter fighting, I thought was amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love
but
that.
The thing that I do like about Just Cause 2 is the vehicles.
Cool.
There's 104 different vehicles in the game.
Wow.
A lot of them are just variations.
Any
like,
sort of multiplayer?
Nope.
Well, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that Mercenaries had that. And
yeah.
as much as I loved the Saboteur, like, I wish I could have flown in something. Like, stolen
yeah.
a Zeppelin or whatever, you know?
I see, I never beat the Saboteur. I kind of... You know what happened? I played that the week before Red Dead came out, and then I played through Red Dead,
never,
and I was like...
You're done.
Holy crap, I felt like I was playing two different generations of games,
mm-hmm.
so I never went back to Saboteur.
Yeah.
But...
I liked the Saboteur. I mean, I played through the entire game and
yeah.
killed it. But I mean, I don't know. There's something I didn't like about it.
Yeah.
Like it was too hard to get around this city. Like I found that a lot of the times I was just walking across the tops of buildings, as opposed to like flying a helicopter across the map to get to where I wanted to go.
Yeah, that's the driving physics are a little weird in Just Cause too.
Yeah,
and it's like super sensitive. You feel like you're on ice all the time.
Mm.
And it's really annoying when you start driving off road. If you're in like a sports car, you automatically it's like, well, all the wheels are
going.
And it just starts going
like Casino Royale style.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like one of those titles now that I think even new is about $20.
Yeah, I
Just Cause. So it's like, you know, it's a great budget title. It got pretty solid scores.
So it's $20 fun for sure, right?
Yeah.
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 Awesome. Well, it was a temporary price drop at a local retailer. So.
Ah, okay.
A local retailer?
Yes. Nationwide retire, I guess. The one that has a circle as an
right, yeah.
that you might want to aim at.
So I picked up, since we talked last, I picked up New Vegas, and I've been playing that.
Cool.
Has it been buggy for you?
No, actually. I haven't played a ton. I mean, I've only played probably...
Have you played more
like
than
five
2 hours?
Yeah, yeah. And
were
I've
there,
played about
you,
5 hours
were
or
there
so.
Like a bunch of updates, like when you first...
There was updates, but
like title
nothing
updates?
I noticed.
Oh, okay.
I think they patched it.
When I did the Dead Money DLC, it seemed to be better. So.
The quick travel system is so much better.
Oh my god.
When everybody talked about it, I was always like, what was the big deal? Because the quick travel never really annoyed me in the old game. It just wasn't convenient. It was like, you could probably get to where you're going faster than using the subway or whatever every time.
Yeah.
And now that I just like hit a menu button and then travel to the other city that I want to go to.
Couldn't you quick travel in Fallout 3?
Yeah,
like to landmarks?
It was the
yeah.
subway, wasn't it?
No, you could
no,
you
I
could
there was a quick
you
travel.
Could teleport to landmarks like
yeah,
cities
if you if it's a place
to,
that you had discovered.
I think you guys are mixing. I
positive.
Pretty
I'm
sure.
Never
I'm
played
99%.
You had to go through the subway every time you quick traveled.
No.
I don't remember.
No, I think you
yes,
did.
Yes, you did. We are googling this right now.
Uh-oh.
I do not remember.
Cue music.
But anyways, regardless, the game, I like it. I'm having fun in it. I like the setting.
The weapon mods are great.
It's good. Yeah, I really, really enjoy
it. I think that's
New
a
Vegas.
Good addition to it.
I think you, myself, and Micah were playing at the same time.
We all had completely different experiences.
And Micah would call me and like tell me stories of New Vegas, like as I was playing New Vegas. And then I went over the hill, and there was a rat scorpion, and I shot him.
and he died. And then my companion... No, he played on hardcore and his companions kept dying. So it was like 2 weeks of Micah complaining. like, why did I play a hardcore? I'm like, I don't know, man.
So you could get the special
Scott was correct.
Ooh.
Fast travel.
Whatever.
Yes, sir.
I'm done with this podcast.
It's not a competition, man.
I'm done with this podcast already.
It's not a competition.
I've already canceled this podcast.
And we have a guest. We have a guest in here. So yeah, other than that, like in terms of gameplay this week, I haven't really played much except for the Gears beta. I'm still plugging away at that.
I didn't get to get my email. Pre-ordered 2 days ago. Still no email from them.
For Gears beta?
Yeah.
Really?
You pre-ordered online?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That's weird. I would definitely... did you pre-order... What company?
The one with the circle logo.
Oh, okay. The one with the circle logo that we may not speak of. But yeah, the three of us played together.
I don't know how that works with writing.
And Scott chainsawed me at
GameStop.
Times.
Yeah.
Scott Lancered me.
I'm not good at that game. Like,
you did pretty good, man.
I haven't
What are you thinking of?
The one that you would aim at.
Yeah.
Oh, Target. Well, no, GameStop has a circle.
They
right.
do?
So don't they pronounce the O? Go ahead. Keep talking.
This is
completely unimportant. I don't know why everybody paused for that.
I wasn't very good at the game, and I think what I learned from playing with you guys is that you don't need to use the cover system.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, I guess a lot of people don't. It's more like rolling and shooting, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's more about being a hard target than...
Yeah, because for the first couple of rounds, I would always get that ribbon that was, like, spent the most time in cover. And I was always the last person on the deathmatch team.
Yeah.
Like, because I was just hiding the whole time, apparently, so...
Yeah, it is... It's a... I mean, I still use cover, just because it's easy to, like, blind fire from it. And, like,
right.
I get a lot of kills that way, because people try and, like, flank you, and you can just blind fire over your shoulder and mow them down. But it's pretty good. Like, I'm enjoying it. I enjoyed actually playing with you guys and Aaron, and actually having like a full squad. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Or an almost full squad. So I'm into it.
I'd like to play some more. I just need to like find a better strategy than trying to play like Gears of War single player style campaign style.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work.
I'd like to play.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
hopefully you get it before May 12th or May 15th rather, because that would be sad if it doesn't come to you.
It'll probably come then.
And May 15th, like, here
you
go.
Yeah. Here's that beta you've been waiting for.
All right, so our news. Actually, Scott, you did a report this week on Nintendo hardware sales.
Yeah.
Because I sent you a text message. I was like, hey, Scott, you should do something about the new Nintendo system. Because I kind of wanted to, but I knew like you're like so much more of a Nintendo guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be like, I'm going to write a shitty article about Nintendo, whereas you would write an excellent article about Nintendo. So you did a lot of Nintendo research, I feel, this week.
Yeah, I did two articles about Nintendo this week. One was about what could potentially be the new controller for the new Wii, which is rumored to possibly have like a touchscreen inside of it.
Yeah,
we talked about that last week a little bit.
Yeah, it wouldn't be surprising considering like the Game Boy Advance, like link cable stuff, and like the 3DS. Like I would have been surprised if like even the DS Lite had some sort of like integration with the Wii, but it never did. So.
Uh-huh.
But the other news was that Nintendo, I guess, came out and said that the 3DS hardware sales are down, and I guess my immediate reaction to that was like, yeah, no shit, you know, there's like. My 3DS has been sitting on the charger for 2 weeks now. And, like, I haven't taken it off the charger.
Bad for the battery?
Huh? Oh, it's probably terrible.
For the battery.
Yeah. I don't think I've turned the system off since I turned it on. You know, I just leave it on the charger.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's no games to play. Like,
right.
And by games, what I said in the article, what I'll say here is like, I'm talking about like new experiences. Like, maybe Street Fighter 4 is an awesome 3DS game, but you can play that somewhere else. You know, like, I've already played Ocarina of Time. Like, I'm not going to play it again on the 3DS.
Right.
And a lot of the other launch titles are just, like, ports of, like, other games or, like, incomplete. Kind of like, hey, we're just throwing a title out there to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. Like, that was the one thing in reply to your, to one of your posts. I was like, yeah, like, the problem is, like, everyone's, like, waiting with bated breath for the Zelda title. But it's an N64 game, and what was that like 2003 or something? I mean, it was not even, it was ancient.
It was even reissued in like a higher res version on the GameCube too. Yeah. Remember that disc version with all the different like difficulty levels or whatever. So
yeah, I remember that.
I mean, like, that's kind of not acceptable at this point, you know, like...
Yeah, I agree. It almost feels... That, to me, that feels like a money grab. Like, I understand releasing HD titles, but, like, having that sort of be the one big game that's coming out this year, that and, like, Kid Icarus, which I don't... You know, like, some people are excited for, but...
Yeah, but at least that's a new... That's a new thing. Like, you can't get that.
It's a new old thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's a new game like, in the series, but they're going to release, like, the Star Fox 64 again, like...
Yeah.
Seriously? Like, what... you know, like, what are we doing here?
Like, yeah, like...
Like, save that kind of stuff for the, like, the download store. Like, don't make me buy that on a cartridge.
No, I totally agree.
But they can't charge you $40.
Yeah, you can't... Yeah, 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 of course. And that's the problem, but...
Why not?
I mean, I guess you could, but mentally I think it's unacceptable.
There are $60 games on... Xbox Live?
Yeah, but those are $60 full-on games and that are released in hard form. It's just you have the choice to buy it digitally. I think it's a different thing on Nintendo. I don't think they have, I don't think Nintendo can release a handheld and charge $40 for a game. People are going to be like, oh, okay. You know, the discussion we were having earlier, they're going to go, okay, I'll take this handheld and go buy my 99-cent game and leave you in the dust. I don't really give a shit. So
I'm not behind mobile gaming. BTW.
Other discussion. Maybe, maybe we'll open thread that one.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, I mean, like, put out a Mario game and, like, have an AR component where, like, Mario runs around on my desk and, like, a pipe comes out of my desk and he jumps in it and does something in Super Mario
Galaxy.
Something,
like, truly innovative, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously the hardware is so, like, does a lot of stuff.
But I was just going to say, do you think the hardware is capable of that much?
Yeah, I mean, but the only...
Really?
But the only people that are going to be able to implement it well are is going to be Nintendo.
It's Nintendo, yeah. No other... Nobody wants to program it for right now, because it hasn't proven itself as an actual, like, lucrative...
Well, but I mean, I would argue that the same thing could have been said about, like, the Kinect. You know, like, oh, well, the only people who are going to make games for it are Xbox, and they're all going to be throwaway games, but then the thing sold, like... 15 million copies.
But there still aren't any
week.
Like hardcore games on the Kinect.
No,
but that's because the developers didn't get behind it until the thing sold. They were like, we're going to, I'm not, why would they spend money on getting people, hiring the staff, building the game, and then having only, like, oh, well, only a million units sold, so we're going to have to hope that we can make our money back
in
1 million.
So pretty much the burden lies on Nintendo to put out a game that makes people excited about the system.
Right.
And I don't think that's going to happen with, like.
I guess I'm just saying that I don't think the tech. Like, if we're comparing new tech, which both of these are, like the Kinect and the 3DS, I don't think the Kinect, I don't think the 3DS's tech was mind-blowing enough, even though it did blow all of our minds when you look at it. I mean, it's crazy, but, like, I don't think it's mind-blowing enough. I don't think, like, we've all argued that 3D has changed anything enough.
I'm not impressed with 3D
That people are going to go out and buy this thing in mass droves, where the Kinect came out and people were like, what the fuck? Like, I can control it with my hands and talk to it.
Yeah.
And it really did, while it may not have changed gaming... It changed interacting with your Xbox.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think, like, these developers to make these games that we all want for it aren't going to get behind it if it doesn't sell.
Yeah.
And if it's already lagging in sales and it's, what, a month and a half now? I mean, that's bad.
I think,
that's a really bad sign.
I think the mistake was naming it 3DS.
I totally agree.
I think it should have been called, like, Nintendo, like,
Dolphin.
HDS or something, you know, like...
Dolphin.
Or whatever.
I think they should have dropped the DS entirely and just made a brand new. This is our new handheld system, and instead it looks like it's just another.
It's got like an HD screen.
They put out
like,
way too many DS systems for it to be like, here's our fifth one. You know, like, buy this one now. It's a 3DS.
I couldn't imagine a kid that, like, carries his system around all the time, like when the mom, you know, like when you see the kids with the parents, you know, and they're kind of like buried in the system. I can't imagine the kid. Being able to convince the parent, like, I need another thing that does this.
I think the only thing that helped that was when the retailers got behind it and said that, oh, you bring in your old DS and we'll give you, you know, $50 to $100 off for it.
Sure, and maybe that's what, like, so, like, you know, like I said, the people that bought the system were probably, like, the people that were excited, like me, like, hardcore Nintendo fans that, like, and then people that had a console to trade in, and then once all that dried up, like, there's no other reason to get it.
I mean, it's just too. It's the point we made originally. It's $250 is a lot of money to throw down on
a
handheld.
It's a really, really high price for that system.
And there's right now, like I said, no browser.
I hope
no
Sony.
Store.
I hope the NGP's taking notes right now and going like, this thing may be awesome, but $250.
The problem is, like, you know, right now, if you have a really solid phone. There's a lot of, like, I'm not a huge fan of mobile gaming, like, you know, iPhone gaming. But there's, like, crazy stuff you can get. That's actually games that are really fun and
to,
really detailed.
Yeah, like to, something to fill the void
five,
away
six,
from
$7, whereas a you know 3DS title is $40 or $50.
Like I said before, man, that fucking Dead Space on the iPhone
is pretty good,
pretty impressive.
Well, and that's what I was. I guess it's hard to not get into the mobile gaming argument. Essentially, I mean, seriously, is that the difference being that I know what phone you have. And I know what phone he has. And when you make an argument against mobile gaming and you don't have an iPhone, unfortunately, or a top-notch Android phone, they just don't pull games down like the other ones do.
My HTC Hero is
not. It's not. I'm sorry.
We have the same phone.
I don't want to break your, you know, break your balls over it, but it is just not a top-notch Android phone. But it's just a different... I mean, I didn't have one until the last one I had that I hacked Android on. The last time when I updated it with Gingerbread, it started doing better. But then when I got this phone, it's like I can play anything on this thing. And it's smooth as butter. There's no problems with it. And there's developers actually making some decent games for it. And then if you look at the iPhone, there's developers making unbelievable games for it. Like that Infinite Sword or whatever. What is it called, Ash? The Infinite...
Infinity Blade,
yeah.
That's a freaking really gorgeous game that's actually fun to play.
Did you
know
the guys that made Shadow Complex made that?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a branch of Epic, isn't it? Isn't that who?
Yeah, it's two brothers.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I think that it's less of an argument that it's shitty on mobile phones and more of an argument as what platform are you playing it on your mobile phone. Because if you're on an older mobile phone...
I never said it was shitty. I just said I'm not into it.
Well, why wouldn't you be into it? If it was awesome, why would you not be into it?
My phone has a screen this big, I don't really...
Well, that's mobile gaming in general.
I wear glasses. I don't want my eyes
but
to get worse.
That's not an argument against phone gaming. That's an argument... I mean, that's the same argument against the DS and the same argument against the PSP.
That's why I sold my PSP.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it was ended up being easier for me to take my PS2 with me on the road and hook that up every night instead of...
When you say on the road, you mean on the skies, right?
Yes, on the skies.
Please say on the skies from now on.
Okay.
No more on the road.
On the skies.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, we argue a lot about the whole mobile gaming thing, and it's a really solid argument because, I mean, I think all of us were really wanting the 3DS to be better than it's been, but it is really just about who can program for that system and make something truly awesome, you know?
Mm-hmm. And usually doesn't that take about 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
From, I mean, the game developer standpoint.
And, I mean, Nintendo's not known for trashing things immediately, even if the sales aren't doing good. So, you know, I'm sure this thing will stick around. It's a bad sign when they're announcing that there's poor sales already.
It's just a little disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, whether it sells, like, well or not, like, I don't really care. Like, I just want to play some fun games, and, like, right now I don't have that. And, like, that's the bummer part.
Right,
you know?
But I mean, it's such a catch-22, like I said, because the reason you had fun games on the Wii, you know, was because it sold a billion copies of it. You know, I mean, like, if the 3DS sold, like, crazy right now, developers would be lining up to make games for that thing. It's just, it didn't, and developers are going, like, well, we're not going to invest any money in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
Yep.
Indeed.
So what's next?
I'm spitting my ice into the cup because I couldn't do it fast enough. The big news, I mean, this is all over the place, and this is like we're probably one of 1,000 podcasts that are going to talk about this for a few minutes. But it's gotten to the point where it's so messed up that I kind of would feel like it's the biggest news this week by far, so we kind of are obligated in a sense to talk about it. PSN obviously got hacked. By a guy by the name of Jeffrey Hotz, H-O-T-Z. No, H-O-T-S.
They actually have a name behind it? They have a single person behind it?
Jeffrey Hotz was the hacker.
Was that the same guy who
months ago hacked it?
I thought he said he denied it.
He denied it, but he was the original person who hacked PSN, like, last month. The month before that. And he went by he had the tag GeoHotz. GeoHotz was his name.
Didn't he do something else?
Yeah, GeoHotz...
He was a PlayStation Network hacker who, like, sold...
Yeah, GeoHotz did something
else. No, he didn't hack the PSN. He hacked the PS3.
Yeah, he hacked the PS3, but people are linking that to the hacking of the PSN.
Right, but I'm saying that he didn't perpetrate a hack on the PlayStation Network originally.
No.
He hacked the PS3 to unlock it, essentially.
Yes. Just said that he hacked the Game Encryption Key for the PS3.
Yeah, he hacked the actual PS3 itself.
Okay, but the thing I read today was saying that they're trying to... blame him because of that, the breach in security, saying that because of...
Oh, like he, like,
yeah,
sort of initiated
found,
it.
Found, like, a back door, so to speak. I'm like, Kevin probably knows this much better.
Well, the order of events was he hacked the PS3.
Yeah.
And then Sony's response to it wasn't like, oh, cool, you hacked the PS3, thanks, like, we're gonna go fix that right now.
Yeah.
They basically leaped all over him and said, like, you're breaking contracts, you're doing this, and, like, tried to sue him.
Yeah.
And then Anonymous, the internet thing that's brung down, like, a billion different people.
All had, the guys with Guy Fawkes masks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jumped in and basically said, well, if you're gonna fuck with one of us, you're gonna fuck with all of us. And then they supposedly launched the attack on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, see, there you go. So the rumor is that Sony's suing him by pissing off the hackers.
Pissed off hackers.
Pissed off hackers, Wow.
Like, I think
I saw
a pretty good article on Wired where they're just like, here's all the people that are, you know, could be, like, have a hand in this. And they're like, and then they kind of put, like, the likelihood of, like...
So originally the PlayStation Network was brought down. This was, what, 2 weeks ago, went offline, like, entirely out of the blue.
Yep.
And PlayStation said, oh, we're not being hacked. No one worry about it.
Well, we have someone who's admitting it.
So PlayStation was like, oh, we're not being hacked. Don't worry about it. And then it came kind of back up online, and then immediately back down again. And now PlayStation, Sony's finally coming out and admitting error, which is why everyone's blowing up now, because Sony's saying things happen.
Well, because it's not just like, hey, PSN got hacked. Like, the big thing is the information leak, and I'm just going to read the little blurbs.
Sure.
All the everyone, if you've ever bought anything through PSN. If you've ever entered, like, your personal information, if you have a PSN account.
Basically, if you signed up.
Yeah, your physical address, all your passwords, all your security answers, your email address, your home address, your purchase histories, and your credit card info are all lost into the internet ether and stolen by people who we don't even know.
Good thing I've got that Mossberg 590 with me.
Yeah.
And they did come out and say, like, oh, the credit card info is encrypted, is what they're saying. But then they also said, but just to be safe, you might want to call your credit card company and cancel that card. But the thing is, here's why I wouldn't believe that for a second. First of all, they've been completely non-forthcoming this entire time. Like, they haven't admitted to anything until this week when they finally were like... And they're starting to get political pressure now, too. I don't know if you guys read that.
There's a senator who... Like,
senators in the U.S., people in Japan, and somebody in the U.K., government-wise, are starting to go like, hey, if you don't start talking, we're going to get legal action and force you to talk. And that's when Sony started going like, oh, well...
Because you're talking about millions.
Oh, yeah.
Millions of people, I mean,
but
especially overseas.
They didn't encrypt the most basic of things, which is, like, your password, which should never be stored. It's, like, basic programming, like, web development 101.
Yeah.
Do not store clear text passwords anywhere on anything. Everything gets encrypted because
it was clear, so you can't.
Because
see
if it gets breached, if it gets breached, then
it's
gone.
Clear
it's
text.
All public info.
Yeah.
You see right through it.
So I mean, this is amazing. I can't believe. I'm like, you know, I'm hoping Xbox is like rushing to encrypt all of their data
sure
right now
they
if they
are.
Haven't
and they,
already.
And you know what? They were genius because Xbox doesn't do well in Asia
right.
at all, but they. The week that this happened, the weekend this happened, they offered a free week of Xbox Live Gold.
Really? They're like, hey, everybody.
Everybody in Asia. So everybody, because PSN was down, so everybody like ran out and bought Xboxes. And they were playing like, they're like, oh yeah, we've seen a giant spike in users.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone's like, we don't have any options.
Let's
we
play Portal
2
on Xbox.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because right now it's just down, right? There is
it's
no
down,
option
yeah,
to.
I turned it on. I tried to get on Hulu and it's like, oh, you have to sign. Oh, but you can't use Hulu, by the way.
Yeah.
Because you have to sign into PlayStation Network. So Hulu,
you hear about this. Yeah.
Hulu sent an email out to everyone. They're like, hey, sorry, they fucked up. Like, click this link and we'll give you a credit for a week.
Not just that. They also said if you install it on the Xbox, we'll give you the free week on the Xbox.
Yeah, there's a free week of Hulu on Xbox coming out pretty soon.
Because it's tomorrow.
Comes out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, have we heard, not to side note it, have we heard about any other updates that Xbox is pushing other than Hulu, or no?
I read something about people that got into the latest dashboard update preview got a free disc of Halo Reach, which is like a promotional disc. And the theory is that they're trying to expand the capacity of the disc by using, like, the space towards the center of the disc, which is normally reserved for, like, some kind of information. I don't remember what. But I think they're going to try to use that space for game data now.
Another extra gigabyte.
Something like that.
Huh. Another extra gig.
So,
I think that data, and I'm probably totally wrong, I think that data is used as a key to make sure that the data is valid on the rest of the disk.
And that sounds
could be totally wrong.
Sure.
But go ahead. Sounds fancy.
Sounds official.
I know things.
Things.
I know things, too. Might not be.
Kevin probably knows better than I do about that.
And I think one suspicion I remember reading was that they could use that disk to then force updates if your console is not online. So it's like, oh, you can't play this game until you run the update. So if you're doing some kind of funny business on your Xbox, like, if you want to play Halo, like, you have to update your system first.
Yeah.
The joke going around the internet about Sony was that... The joke going around the internet about Sony was that it was like, DRM all your video, DRM all your video games... yet store your passwords in clear text. And it was like, the joke is like, yeah, they lock down everything that has to do with them selling you something, but then your personal information is just clearly stored out there in case anybody ever breaks in and it's gone.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second. Not that I'm going to try to say that what happened is okay, but like, how different is this than like Facebook one day just being like, oh, we accidentally publicized your phone numbers like in your profile?
Well, because Facebook does it because they view that they own your information.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and that's Facebook. Like, I would still say that Facebook doing that puts it in a network of people that you are aware of.
Sure.
And Facebook will, no matter how bad Facebook is with social information, they're never going to go like, here's your credit card info to like people that don't need it. This is very much like a group of people.
Probably knows. Eastern Europe.
I mean, who knows? There's a lot of Americans in that group, from what I understand. But a group of people that nobody really knows that hacked a system to prove a point, but now they have your information.
Yeah. Right. And what they do with it is, I mean, of course they risk a very long time in jail to do anything. I mean, they're already in a lot of trouble, but if they ever act on it and actually start, like... I mean, because really, if they have your address and basically all your secrets... Essentially, in one big file.
Challenge questions, answers.
Yeah, exactly. They could do anything. I mean, they could get into my bank account.
From what I understand about Anonymous and all of this going on is that most likely people's personal stuff's not going to get screwed.
But it may not be them.
It may not be them, and it may not be definite. You know, you never know. That's the thing with that group, is that it could be anybody.
It could just
be
random hacker dudes that are just like,
Like, Anonymous could have opened it up, and then some random... bad hacker could have gotten in and then stolen all that stuff. So,
like the plague.
It's like the plague. There's a worm stealing pennies at a time.
Pac-Man.
It could have been like, I mean, this could also boil down to the same kind of like logic that like all kind of like disasters tend to follow, where it's like, it's never just one thing that creates a disaster. It's like, you know, maybe one day...
Swiss cheese model.
Yeah, the Swiss cheese. Maybe one day you don't check the regulatory valves on the power plant, like, monitor, and then you don't...
One day you clean out an O-ring.
What else is going on in privacy breach news?
Yeah, okay, so I just added this because I couldn't remember. Did we talk about this last week?
I don't remember if we did or not.
Last week is but a blur.
I can check.
I was laid off.
We will briefly go over this. Essentially what happened was two researchers that work for O'Reilly, which is a big publishing company that does computer books, were looking to visualize... Well, they work for somebody else, too, but they were looking to visualize some data. They were just like, oh, we do data visualization. So they were just kind of hunting and pecking around for things. They went into the iPhone 4, which would be any... I think it's actually just iOS 4, so anybody who has iOS 4 running on their iPhone. And they found this file called consolidated.db. And they opened it up, and what they found was a bunch of different databases... But one of them was called possibly Locations, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
And when they opened Locations, it was just thousands upon thousands of Latin longitude points sitting in a file. Just completely open in the file, like it wasn't hidden or encrypted at all. Just plain text. And they were like, that's kind of crazy. So they threw that into... a visualizer. They built this little program that would visualize the dots on a map.
Is that for an individual phone or for the entire
phone?
Map?
Just an individual phone.
So you could track one person's...
Yes, essentially.
Location.
So they threw that into a visualization program that they made, and it drew a year's worth of data that they had on their phone.
Like
it,
places they've been,
it
like
drew,
cell phone,
like just
cell
drew
phone
out
towers
everywhere
they had
gone, and it had all the cell phone towers that they had connected to along that way, some bigger than others. It was just this big file. And there was another database in there called Wi-Fi Locations, and it was every Wi-Fi location they had pinged on a map that, that just like popped out on a map. And that one was like tons of information. So of course, you know, the, everybody blew up over it.
I wonder how that works with
I kind of had the point of view that like it's shitty that it's clear text, but I didn't think Apple was necessarily probably doing anything negative. I mean, this is totally a non-Apple fanboy too talking, but I was like, you know, what is Apple really going to do? They said they had no proof that it had been transmitted, but what is happening, they said, was that that file was backed up to your service, and then anytime you move to a new phone or anything, that file moved with it. So if this had never been found, you know, in the future, you could be two phones down the line, and that database would have the data from two phones ago still in it, like building up more data about where you've been. So that was the big hoo-ha. Everybody freaked out and said, you know, like, oh, Apple's trying to steal your location information. I kind of, the way I felt, and this is what Apple kind of came out and said this week, what I thought was like, it seems more like they're probably doing that to figure out what tower to connect you to when you're in different areas. They're just pinging data and going like, oh, he hits these three towers a lot, you know, get ready for this location over here. As he's driving this way, it's going to be another tower. Like, it's just doing that to do smart location data. And but what everybody was saying was, why have that much? You don't need it. You don't need every place you've ever pinged on a tower to do that kind of calculation. And or why sort in clear text? Like, either one of those things you could solve.
Yeah.
So Apple came out yesterday and made the announcement that didn't apologize, of course, which I knew wasn't going to happen. I was like, there's no way they're apologizing for this. And they were just like, oh, you know, we don't do anything with that data. It's never been transmitted to us. The new update for the phone is going to cut it so that it only stores a week of location data instead of every day you've ever had the phone. So on to happier news.
Yes, some video game stuff. I figured the reason I put this up here because it's been, I think all of us have been kind of busy, and we actually haven't talked about the new release calendar in quite a while, since I think January was the last time we really looked at like when a lot of these games are coming out and like which ones we're excited about. I think we did a list a long time ago, like which games we're looking forward to the most
after
2011.
PAX.
Yeah,
yeah.
And seeing how it's like almost May, I figured it was time to look at what's still coming out and kind of like talk about which ones we're excited about. Hunted: The Demon Forge comes out in a couple weeks. That's Bethesda. Any of you guys gonna pick it up?
I mean, we played it.
Negatory?
I don't really know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, it's a
co-op, right?
Cover-based shooter slash hack and slash.
It was a Fantasy Gears.
Fantasy Gears of War. A fantasy,
it's like Quantum Theory?
A fantasy
co-op. A fantasy co-op. It's not co-op. Fantasy, you have a buddy who runs with you.
Like a companion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's co-op. Yeah, it's co-op.
I think you can co-op it, but it's... You permanently have, like,
yes.
Whether somebody's in the room with you or not,
yeah.
There is a character running around with you shooting.
Yes.
Like, they just shoot at nothing, like, all the time?
No, right? I mean, Derek, they shoot at nothing all the time. Bethesda was like, let's just have them fire all the time.
Wait, this is a Bethesda game?
Yes.
Well, I think it's made by... It's made by In Exile Entertainment.
What else did they
okay, done? Yeah, and then Bethesda's actually
the
publisher.
Publisher, yeah.
So I think it has potential. The build Matt and I played in March, I didn't feel like it was done.
Why I'm saying I'm not picking it up. Probably. I'm not picking it up on release.
Yeah.
How's that? I'd probably play it at some point.
Not
but
a day one purchase.
No. Because when we played that version of the game, I was like, oh, this is a game that's not coming out for like a year or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it felt. I was like, oh, this game's clearly not coming out for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah,
that's pretty bad.
And then, in the same way that when we played the Lord of the Rings game, which I was like, this game's clearly, and it's not. Like,
yeah.
I was like, this game's clearly not coming out anytime soon. And I asked him, he was like, oh, no, we're not even in, like, near beta yet. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But that's the way Hunted felt, and, you know.
What did you think?
It's obviously not even on your radar, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the name, but I don't... It's one of those things... What was the name of it?
Hunted: The Demon Forge.
There seems to be so many, like, something-something demon games coming out in the near future to me. Like, either, like, Hunter this or Demon that, and it just... I don't know.
Well, the things that I liked about it, I'll just say that. I love, first of all, co-op, which is the new, you know... As Scott would say, what do
new
you say?
Hotness.
The new hotness. That's
the new hotness?
Saying. Yes, that's what you're saying. It is definitely the new hotness, and I love it. And it's the new hotness for a reason.
I'm just sick of the four-player stuff. It's hard enough playing with one other person.
I know. But the thing that's cool is all co-op, there's two very different characters, all who are voiced. There's like a girl elf who's like an archer, so you're mainly ranged. And then there's a guy, like a human warrior, who's like all pretty much melee.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a third-person brawler slash shooter.
And not, like, it was a little more like three-quarter than it was right over the shoulder.
Yeah.
The camera panned, because if I remember, we had some camera issues as well. The camera moves kind of freely around you, so it's not necessarily that like tight over the shoulder shot.
Yeah. The thing that kind of irked me is like the girl, she's an archer, and like pretty much like archery felt
like
it was
spitting at the guy.
Yeah, it felt like
he didn't do any damage.
He's underpowered.
Well,
that was my
not
feeling.
Only that, there was no like draw time to the bow.
Yeah.
There was no like, you know, feeling of like weight to
felt
it.
Like,
so it was just like shooting like toothpicks.
Felt like
what
was the game where the four player top down? You'd run around
Gauntlet.
Yeah,
and
it just like it like bounced off the guy.
Yeah,
I was like,
it
this is
take, like 20 arrows. You know, they're just like, what the fuck is happening? But. If they fixed a lot of that stuff, I think it could be pretty cool.
It'd be a fun game. I don't know about $60 release date.
This company was attached to the game Bard's Tale.
Oh, wow.
From, like, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Dude, that's 20 years ago.
Well, I think they did a remake in 2004.
Oh, okay.
And they also are working on, currently, according to Wikipedia, they're working on a remake of Choplifter. So that's all.
Wow,
that's all I got.
Choplifter.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
Which
cool.
is an awesome game. So hey,
Choplifter
yeah,
was good.
Tiger Helly was better.
What?
Is that how you say it? I've been saying Tiger Healy since I was 5 years old.
Helicopter.
Oh, it's Tiger Helly. Man, I really thought it was Tiger Healy all these years.
Do you call them helicopters?
Yes, I did.
Man, you say you were a ghoulie?
All my friends and I used to say Tiger Healy. I swear to effing God.
Were you a ghoulie guy? Not,
no, I was not a ghoulie.
Okay, you're a guile then.
No, I would never say
ghoulie.
Ghoulie. It's Christina called him ghoulie.
Ghoulie.
Ghoulie. Yeah.
Oh,
so that's
the Dawson was the one you had problems with.
I think that's May or June for Hunting.
Sonic Boom!
Yeah, that's pretty bad. So that's May or June Hunter that's coming up pretty soon. Red Faction Armageddon, have you guys looked at that at all?
I have.
What do you think?
I'm excited for it, but apprehensive at the same time, just because it's
now,
seems to be stepping away from the open world.
We talked about this. I didn't care too much for Armageddon, but you have played other Red Faction games in the series, right?
I've played them all.
Okay, so
maybe
which way is this game going? Like somewhere in the middle of like linear action and
from what I've read, it seems like it's going back to the more linear action.
And it's underground now as well, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not really certain if the entire game is. I think some of it might be above ground, and it might be a little bit more open world up there, but...
Now, see, I'm really ignorant when it comes to the Red Faction games, but who were your enemies in those games? Because I know I've seen...
In the first one, it was the Mining Corporation.
Okay.
It was totally like a rip-off of...
I can always confuse...
Recall.
Go ahead. Because I can...
It's kind of
a
similar
game.
Premise in... Armageddon as well, right? You were kind of like fighting against these like planetary Earth forces.
Well,
or something.
That was the Earth forces.
Oh, because you take over the mining company.
Yeah, you take
yeah.
over. You free everyone from the evil mining corporation too.
And then people from Earth come in and they're like, "Now we're going to take over the mining something or other."
Yeah, and they just end up in, like oppressing Earth rule over Mars, and Mars wants to be free.
Right.
So yeah, I got to actually play this over the summer at Comic-Con.
What were your impressions?
Did you play it at Comic-Con?
Yeah, I played it at Comic-Con.
Really
and
enjoyed the
it was actually kind of fun. And the reason I asked about what you fought is because in this, you're fighting against monsters. But actually kind of like, not to diss the game, but they really look like necromorphs and kind of acted like necromorphs.
Okay.
So they were kind of like, you know, misshapen like
mm-hmm.
mutant fetus creature things. I liked it. It had like the level of destructibility was what they were really playing up in the playthrough. And it was,
I think that's always been the strong suit. I mean, with the exception of the first one where they're trying out the whole destructible environment.
Yeah. Well, this, it's weird because you can destroy shit and then you have like a beam that zaps it and rebuilds it. Mm-hmm. So you can like knock a bridge down and guys
Whoa.
Can like fall. Then you can, like, hit your, like, Lego assembler or whatever.
Oh, the Nanoforge. Oh, so it kind of adds a new wrinkle to the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can.
Because you don't really get to do anything with that in the first game.
I mean, you get the Nano Rifle.
You kind of just obliterate everything with the rifle,
yeah,
pretty much. And that was cool.
I did enjoy that.
So, are you guys going to get it?
We think.
I think I just saw there's a demo coming out in a week, possibly.
The third, maybe?
Fourth? Let's see.
Oh man,
I don't even have a
Armageddon. In just 1 week's time, the official demo for Red Faction Armageddon will be released on PSN. Ha ha ha. Good luck
or
with that.
Or not. Yeah. All right. So next on my short list, some game called La Nuori. La Nuori.
That's gonna, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Right? You guys into it?
Yeah.
I'm almost ready to buy it sight unseen. Yeah.
I think I may do the same. I haven't watched anything on it, but
so we
wow, I'm
it
really
was,
not in that camp.
Really? So I've watched some of the
I'm not yet.
Okay.
I watched some of the tech videos, like how they made the game, and those all blew me like straight away. I was just
looks,
good God. Like how they did the facial animations and everything.
Awesome.
It looks ridiculous. And I was like, well, I started to have some pause before we were headed to PAX, and I was like, you know, I don't know if this is going to carry, like, awesome animation is not going to carry the game from front to back, you know, like, yay, but not the perfect thing. And we did not do the LA Noir thing, we didn't get to, but we met a bunch of people that did go through it, and all of them said, they didn't play it, it was shown footage to them, but they all said that it was 100% convincing and that they're buying it on release, that everybody was just walked out of that thing going like, holy crap,
which,
I can't believe that's what I just watched.
Which rocks? Who's making this?
Like which
like
branch
North
of Rockstar?
Or South? Or
I don't know which one it is.
I thought it wasn't even Rockstar. I thought it was... They
no,
were publishing
Rockstar.
It, but I thought it was some Australian company.
No, the Australian company is the one who did the facial captures.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're the ones who created the tech that made that like 47 camera facial capture.
I think, you know, everybody, you know, all the other the journalists that have already actually gotten to actually play the game, they say it's just a great story and it works well. You know, there's a shooter in there with a cover mechanic,
mm-hmm.
and there's driving elements, and there's
seems totally bizarre.
A lot of detective work where you actually
mm-hmm.
like you spend time as your character at a crime scene trying to analyze like how this person was killed and using different tools
mm-hmm.
to figure that out. And I think that's pretty cool. There are very few games in this time period, and the thing that I like about Rockstar is they really do a lot of research with their history, and they really put a lot of effort into making things historically accurate and do things that other companies wouldn't dare to do.
He's right. It's Team Bondi and Rockstar. It says in they developed it together.
Oh, okay.
Whoever Team Bondi is.
Bondi.
oh no, that's the tech, the motion scan team. So it's Rockstar. They were just the ones who developed
it. Does it say which studio?
No, that's what I'm looking.
It's
just
San Diego, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because they just did Red Dead. Yeah.
I think it. Yeah,
it's
going.
Rockstar Hoboken. the little known chapter.
Hoboken's actually a really nice place.
Whatever, man.
I've been there.
Whatever.
I had several friends.
You just liked it because it's called Hoboken.
It's actually a pretty affluent area.
You know what's kind of sad is that I was actually considering getting the PS3 version of this game because there was going to be like an additional like mission pack exclusive to PS3.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. of the PSN debacle.
Yeah, and now because of this, I'm kind of like it kind of sours me a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I was excited about Infamous, and now I'm not. I don't know if I'm going to pick it up on launch if the PlayStation still won't.
Because I was thinking like
I'd buy everything on an Xbox so I can get my gamers for higher.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing: like, I know that's it's hard to make
like,
that decision, but I thought like, okay, this
I'm
is going to it's a pretty like heavy like interactive kind of fiction. I thought like, if it's two discs, I'd rather have one Blu-ray instead of two DVDs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, I agree with that.
Like, get an extra pack. Like, maybe it'll be a little sharper.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, because, like, some people think that the graphics on the PlayStation are
better
when optimized correctly, you know, or whatever. So, I was really kind of leaning towards that. And now I'm not so sure.
Yeah. I hear you.
But I do want to know if this is a two disc.
This game has been in development since 2004.
Yeah.
That's
not
awesome.
Even remotely surprised. I'm not
2004 is when Team Bondi started doing this, and they sold it to Sony, who was going to have exclusive rights to the game.
That concerned me.
And
Alan
then
Wake
Take-Two picked it
stories.
Up. Take Two picked it up, and then Rockstar joined in on the development side of it, and probably has been. I guess they've been involved for the past 4 years.
Next on the list, ID, Rage.
I've not seen a lot about this.
Cannot wait for this.
Yeah, you're really
excited. I'm not a huge like ID fanboy by any means, but the pictures that I've seen and what I've read about it, this looks awesome.
Well, that's the
see,
thing.
It looks
like
all tech to me. I haven't seen anything about the game. I feel like I'm just like
there was a gameplay video. Where did I just see a gameplay video? Somewhere on the internet.
I mean, I've seen it being played, and it looks phenomenal. But it's like my problem is, does it look? Visually, it's spectacular, but in terms of gameplay and innovation, is there anything new there, or are you playing a pretty Borderlands? You know what I mean?
Video games have gotten to the point of movies where there is nothing new, so you just have to accept that it's going to be new.
I disagree about that.
Man.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, you have Space Marines and you have Ground Marines.
Space aliens and Ground Marines.
Oh boy.
You should hear all the theories that I come up with for Gears of War 3, and he's like, you really think that? I'm like, yes.
Oh, I put this in there for you because I know you you are what got me into 40K and Micah into 40K. Warhammer 40K, Space Marine, being put out by same people
Relic.
As Relic. Relic. Yeah. And it's looking great. So what did you think?
Also excited for that.
Excited for that.
It's coming out at a good time.
Is
year
it
too.
Solo co-op massive? What is this game? I don't know
as
anything about it.
Solo. Do you know
as far as
about
I know, it's solo.
But it's not an RTS, right?
No, it's
a
third-person
shooter.
Yeah, the Gears of War perspective, but it's supposed to be like bloody melee combat with guns.
Yeah,
I'm alright with that.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's looking pretty good too. The
and
graphics
supposedly
are really
it's supposed to have a lot of weapon choices in it.
Yeah,
too.
Relic is a really solid studio. They're
well,
really
this is what they've done with Dawn of War. I mean, they essentially, I think, made 40K a more household name, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like
the way they did Dawn of War.
I feel like they don't. They like, you know, they modify good game systems. Essentially,
yeah.
they're like, this works for StarCraft, so we're going to take that and then make it more fun by making it like. Like Dawn of War was very, it was less about sitting there and hacking a base, you know, because you didn't really do that, but like building bases that were gigantic, and more about like getting your team in, setting up a good strategy, and going after something, you know. And I thought that was so much fun and like kind of refreshing take on a genre that already existed.
Yeah.
And I think that's why like I would be cool with this because it's like Relic does do that. They take a genre that's like, oh yeah, this is good, but we made it this, we made it fun because you're running through and hacking and slashing, you know, instead of just shooting.
Yeah. The thing that I think I'm most sad about is I don't think there is any co-op to it.
Oh, really?
And I think a four-player co-op with four Space Marines,
yeah.
and you each kind of tweak your character to
yeah,
how you
yeah,
want.
Like,
that would be cool.
One guy laying down fire with
it's
a head.
I feel like it's almost required at this point.
Yeah.
It's almost we're almost to the point where if you're not building an Alan Wake kind of story game, that co-op
a
seems like a
you need to shoot with friends or else what the hell, you know, what's the deal? So yeah, I'm excited about that one too. I think you guys are actually probably more excited about this next one than
Micah's
I am.
Micah's really excited about
Micah
this
is super excited
Micah
about this game.
Micah hated this game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Batman Arkham City. And I feel bad because I think I told him to pick up the other one. But
it's all right.
Arkham City, obviously a sequel to Batman Arkham Asylum. This time, it just to clarify, it's not open world. You don't get all of Arkham. So you don't get all of Gotham City to run around in. But you do get much larger areas, they're saying, and there's going to be no co-op. That was kind
that
of
that shouldn't
a,
be. I mean, but that's
okay.
not a co-op game.
Yeah,
like Batman, unless somebody has to be Robin, and no one wants to be Robin. So you know,
I would totally be in Robin.
I know you would. You'd be Dick Grayson all day long.
But
I think I'm okay with not having the like an open world like Arkham
well,
Asylum
be
was.
Multiplayer online.
I'm not
competitive.
Competitive online multiplayer.
I'm not a huge fan of
detective mode.
Like what I call like Metroid style gameplay where it's like the world is this big,
yes.
but you go a little bit in this direction and you get an item, and then it lets you go a little bit further in that direction.
Yeah.
Which gets you an item to go a little bit further in this direction.
But,
and that's what happens in Castlevania. That's what happens. Shadow Complex did that, and that was kind of okay.
I think that's, at this point, and and I'm going to be the asshole here. I think if that's almost, to me, like lazy game design.
But I mean, that's what Arkham was. It's like,
yeah, no, I agree.
You know, you had to keep revisiting areas.
I hated that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, now you have, you know, you have cooler spray goo that can blow up a bigger wall, and
yeah.
now you can get through this wall that was always there, but you have the cooler spray goo.
Like
now.
The thing that you've been looking at since you got into the game,
yeah.
you can finally now access that part, and like, it's so annoying.
Yeah, no, I agree. I liked the first game. I didn't love it. There are parts that frustrated the living poo out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like the fighting.
Yeah.
Combat system was
fighting
fun.
Was awesome.
You know?
I was terrible at it. I was trying to play it like a button masher.
Really?
No, it's all like...
It's not
timing.
Yeah. I learned that like as I was finishing the Joker battle.
Oh, yeah, it's not...
I learned that it's
that's
not
the
a
one
masher.
Thing you... I mean, I'm not a huge God of War fan. I just beat the first one. But that game, I think, was... what set the standard for the new style of 3D combat. Like the old...
Like not button mashing, but you're trying to like learn the timing of like the...
strategy, like, you know. And then I think
Bayonetta
borrowed it. Bayonetta's like big into that. That's like actually... Yeah. Playing that game is like a skill.
It really
is.
I think I was too dumb to play those games.
I clearly am too dumb to play those games.
I can't.
I present to you running into Vanquish and getting hit by a tank.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
3 to 4 times.
And we're like, we didn't even know that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop.
Oh, man, Vanquish.
Not for
that.
You.
Yeah. Not my kind of game.
All right, so Arkham City, I think we're all excited, some more than others.
The two I was going to bring up that aren't on the list that I think deserve a spot, one that I'm definitely getting and I think you're definitely getting is Fear 3.
Oh, yeah.
Have you played the first two?
I played first one, and I did not finish first.
You guys are actually
one.
Getting compelling me to want to play these games.
Dude, now. Fear 3 was, I'm telling
you're
you,
you're
going to
hate Fear 1 because
fun.
The entire campaign gets you 75 gamer score.
What? Forget it.
Two gets you like 500.
And the other one...
Is it all multiplayer?
A lot of it is, and one of its like hardest difficulty, which is ridiculous because it's before the era of regenerating health, so you
yeah.
can just hide anywhere.
Yeah.
But the story is
really
it's
good.
It's worth playing for the story.
Okay.
The graphics, it made me sick when I was playing it. I got motion sick.
Maybe I'll get a PC.
The third one will
something.
Be... I will tell you, third one, it will be fun. Co-op fun.
Okay.
Like, the co-op in the third one will be
yeah.
a blast.
From what I've read about 3, you can skip 2 and still know what's going on
yes.
with 3.
And
okay.
if anybody needs to fill you in, you get raped at the end of 2, and she has your baby.
Sure. I was kind of shocked that happened. I was like, because
we didn't know.
I'm
we were...
like, I apparently just had sex with Alma.
She was like the girl that was taking us through.
Oh, it's a
was,
Sierra
was
game.
Talking
you
to us and was like, so did you guys play 1 and 2? I'm like, I played 1. I never beat 2. Like, I think I rented it through GameFly or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
I just never got all the way through it. She was like, okay. She's like, so do you know what happened? And I'm like, no. She's like, are you familiar with the Almaverse and everything? I'm like, yeah, I mean, somewhat. Like, I kind of know vaguely what happens. She's like, okay, in 2, you get raped at the end, and she has your baby. And I was like, that is an ending to a game, all right? Good lord.
That's amazing.
You're pulling no punches on that series. So, this one, the game looks really great, though. It's definitely, I think, a pickup for
yeah.
me. All right. We will be back in a minute. All right, so Birdemic.
Tell me about this movie.
That was awesome.
I would like to learn more.
Wow.
I would say the choppy animation of the birds was about as good as the animation of the birds was in the movie.
You've already said a lot.
You missed out. You honestly did.
I did? Okay.
Because you can't watch this movie now. Like, by yourself.
That's fine.
You have to see it in a group.
I probably never will.
Right?
Yeah.
If you see it by yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, like, okay, so the whole story behind it was Amy, who...
has been on the podcast.
Has
before.
Been on the podcast,
on the podcast
before.
A couple times.
Her, yeah. A couple more podcasts. Her boyfriend, Jason, was like, hey, I'm going to have a Birdemic party. And I honestly, I received the invitation, and I didn't really know what the fuck it was.
Right.
So I was like, what is this Birdemic Shock and Terror. I was like, it sounds amazing. What's I'm like, doing? I instantly clicked like accept party invitation.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was, but I was
when he sent out the invitation, it said Birdemic Shock and Terror was the title. And then the write up of what was going to happen was, you know, we absolutely won't allow any birds to our party and any bird themed items.
It was like a solemn gathering for those lost in the bird related tragedy.
Yeah, it was written really weird, which is how that's Jason's sense of humor. But it was written really weird, and I was just like, "What the hell am I going to?"
Yeah.
I actually Googled it and posted the trailer in the Facebook thing.
Yeah.
I was like, "What is Bird?" And I looked it up. I was like, "Oh God, it's a movie."
Yeah,
is it like sci-fi?
No.
I feel like it had that flavor, though.
No, not even sci-fi movies.
Not even Deborah Gibson quality?
Dude, Mansquito had probably 40 times the budget and casting that this had. Like,
yeah,
so Battle for Los Angeles was the best movie ever.
Was it? Compared, well, okay. Describing this movie, the first, I want to say, 10 to 15 minutes is literally a scene of a guy just, like, going about his day-to-day activities. Like, he wakes up.
The first 10 minutes is him driving.
He's driving his blue Mustang
yeah.
all over the place. And it's just him driving. And you're like, what
year Mustang is it?
Brand new.
The new one, yeah.
Brand
it's
new.
A
good, like 08 or 09.
So this is not a period piece.
No, it's
okay.
not a period piece.
But it is, so, and he admits fully his love for Hitchcock. But there is a very Hitchcockian song playing.
Yes.
While he's driving through this, like, windy road.
Yes.
Hmm.
And I don't know what he was going for here, but it's basically the most boring thing you've ever watched.
Yeah.
And he, you know, he even gets out and gases up his car, and you watch him gas up his car, and he gets back in his car, and he goes to work. And then it just kind of goes on for another half an hour of him going about his life. And he goes and eats breakfast at this restaurant, and there's this pretty girl there that used to go to high school with him.
Is this the blonde girl?
This is the blonde girl. And he falls in love with her, and they go on a date, and they go dancing.
Timelines are very confusing in this movie.
He falls in love before going on a date?
Well, instant.
It was like instant love.
Yes. Because remember, she's a Victoria's Secret fashion model. I can't...
So you have to... Okay.
You lost me.
She goes...
So there's
the next scene. The next
so
scene you see, the
her,
next scene
her
you
face.
See, is her going to take photos
yeah.
at Eckerd's.
Yeah.
Essentially, a
wow.
CVS.
Yeah, a pharmacy. So she's getting a photo session.
I don't know. It was
a photo session, like for her passport. Like what? I don't understand.
No, there's like a string.
It's
modeling.
A model session, but it's literally at a CVS.
Yeah. So. How do you even fucking describe this movie?
I don't know. So like, all
right.
The first hour of or 50 minutes of the movie is all like story about this guy and this girl, and it's all about how this guy makes a ton of money, billions of dollars,
yeah.
from his company selling itself to Oracle.
Okay, sure.
And then he starts
That's a real company.
He starts another business where he sells solar panels. And
but he can't really say the word
solar panels.
So where's the joke part?
So hold on. So and then he sells that company and makes
yeah.
even more money. He's got millions upon millions of
yeah.
dollars now. He
yeah.
falls in love with this girl, and there's a timeline of him falling in love with this girl. You have no idea how long has passed. It's like it looks like 2 days. Supposedly it was months, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the movie starts out and they're in the winter.
Yeah.
Because it was really hot for the winter. Uh-huh. And then the next scene, it's October.
Uh-huh.
Like.
Literally. It's like cut, then it's October.
It was the weirdest, like, cuts and timelines.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole first 50 minutes is just that.
Yeah.
That's
just
all that happens.
Lives.
Just their lives.
Their lives in Half Moon awful. Bay, California.
How
and
long
then,
is the movie?
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
So,
and then
it's pre-burn.
And then 15 minutes in.
What is the first thing we see that we all just uproarious laughter?
There is a still frame of the town of Half Moon Bay. It's basically a snapshot from far, far away. So you see all the buildings in the town, and then you see basically two-frame animations of birds, hundreds of
like,
little birds. Yeah, like two frames of animation, all like kind of slapped onto the still frame.
Wow!
And then you hear like the eagle sound, this eagle screech, like the
ah!
Yeah, that
maybe
sound.
That Birdemic song was in there because when the gas station scene,
maybe. But then that eagle sound kind of chimes in, and then the birds start dive bombing the town. and little tiny mushroom clouds start
exploding
really? All over the town.
The
yeah,
birds wow. explode
yes.
when they hit things.
Yes,
that's awesome.
And
why?
And so the guy and his girlfriend were in a hotel at the time,
having finally had coitus, as they
yeah.
say,
which they didn't show.
No,
we got all we saw was her in her Victoria's Secret outfit.
Yeah,
okay.
And then
she's not ugly.
No, she's not toothy,
no.
but not ugly.
Okay.
And then they somehow know that birds are attacking everywhere. They don't really explain why they know that birds are attacking everywhere, but they immediately know that. The world is under attack from birds.
Yes.
And they barricade the window very poorly with a mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And then they eventually meet up with another couple because they, like, sneak out of the room and run to another place. And they're, like, freaking out with the other couple who has yet to be introduced in this movie. They just literally appeared out of nowhere. They did not exist
granted,
previous
there was
to
another
this.
Couple they associated with earlier who has now vanished.
Vanished completely. They're nowhere. They're not
this
even concerned about that
awesome.
Other couple. Who was staying in the same hotel,
I
if
believe,
I'm not crazy.
Who knows?
So they go meet this other couple. They get coat hangers. And then they decide we're going to make a run for it. Not for the guy's 150-mile-to-the-gallon electric Mustang, which they say in the movie. But to the other guy's 1994 Ford Aerostar minivan.
Which they spend the rest of the movie
so
in.
So they run to this... Well, what gets better is they run to the minivan, and then the guy that they just met pops out of the minivan with an automatic machine gun and starts shooting at the birds
yeah.
that are trying to dive bomb their,
yeah.
their minivan.
Well,
and
that's why we would go to the minivan, because there was a machine gun in there.
Did you... have you guys seen the... One of the more recent episodes of 30 Rock where Jenna is in, like, a torture porn
yes.
movie.
Yes, yes,
and they keep changing what the movie's about.
Yeah.
Like, it
yeah.
sounds like this started out as maybe one kind of movie.
Well, it was a romantic comedy.
And ended as a different...
No, the whole thing, the joke was that the movie started out... It had been 12 years in development, and it started out as a romantic comedy because that's what was, like, big 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And every time there was, like, a new phase of movies, it changed genre entirely. And it ended up being a torture porn movie... That was sponsored. They
yeah.
had to get sponsors to buy into the movie so it could get made.
Right. So what's
it wasn't portraying Connecticut in a good light.
Positive
right.
light.
Yeah.
Right.
So they had to.
Anyways, this is a total. No, it's not. It's not even that good.
Yeah. But I.
And then they drive, which they don't explain why they drive. They're just like
they're escaping.
I feel like my first inclination would be like, let me go to the house, and like board up the windows and just stay inside
well,
for a little
are
while.
Exploding.
That's true.
What are you gonna do? You know?
But they would.
Right,
but some birds would just hit the car and nothing would happen, and then
yeah.
others would explode.
So not even continuity. In
no,
the
no, no. Some would explode into acid. Like
yeah, they,
alien acid.
They went and saved this bus full of people, and two birds like exploded into acid onto the group of people that they were trying to
and
save.
They got all burnt up.
They saved two kids that immediately became their family.
Yes,
because
they
their parents
kidnapped.
Died.
They just adopt them.
So they just kidnap the kids. Don't ask if they've got any of their family. They
yeah.
just take them with them.
Yep.
Let's hear about some analysis. Because I mean, you've basically told me the plot, but like,
yeah,
analysis.
The plot. We told you the plot.
What
That's
are the impressions? Like, what? Let's
well,
do the review
here's
part.
The situation, like. One of the worst movies ever, but
yeah.
There's something magical about it. And in the write-up I did, you have to like read the story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is pretty much a crazy person.
Okay.
Made by a Vietnamese software developer.
Yeah, Vietnamese software developer in California. On the weekends, he started saving money. He saved up 10 grand. And he filmed it over the course of 4 years over the weekends.
Wow.
And everybody...
Which I think is why the other couple disappeared and they had a new
yeah.
couple. And then the other couple appeared again at the very end. I think
uh-huh.
he got them to come back for
uh-huh.
like the final scene.
And everybody worked for free. He did pretty much
mm-hmm.
everything by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like he shot it. He edited it. He did
the
all
birds
this.
Were just like purchased on like iStock photos.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Animated
and
birds.
So he did
wow.
everything on his own. But here's where things get fucking weird. He tries to bring it to Sundance. And obviously they laugh and they say, there's no way you're showing this to
yeah.
Sundance. Well, he drives to Sundance in the van from
the
movie because
yes.
he bought it. It cost him
right.
$300. So he drives there, but he glues all these rubber birds to the van.
Okay.
And over the loudspeakers...
Dumps
plays,
no, and dumps blood all
over
the van.
Dumps blood all over the van. And over the loudspeakers, because he hooks up a stereo system, he plays the sound of birds screeching and people like crying and
yes.
down to death.
And it says Birdemic all over
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and he drives around Sundance for 18 hours at a time.
Wow.
And everyone's like, what is this guy all about? And so this like little small studio is like, let me see your movie.
Yeah.
Like, these producers. And so they saw it and they're like, this is the fucking worst thing ever. But they're like, this is so bad that we're going to do something with this. So they bought it, right?
Okay.
And then they started showing it around, and it ends up showing at 60 film festivals around the world.
Like as like a joke? It's kind of like
a weird cult. So the guy, here's the thing, is like they keep bringing the director to all of these film festivals. Mm-hmm. Like the director and the cast were at a lot of the film festivals.
Okay. Yeah.
But everybody there, the best, Melissa put it really well during the movie. You watch it with a group of people, and it's as if you were watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show back in the 90s when they play like midnight showings of it.
Yeah.
And like, that was what was happening. Like, we were all yelling and hollering.
Fuck that.
Like, we're all yelling and hollering at the movie the whole time and making fun of it. And then, like, you watch people at the festivals watching it, and they're all, like, they all bring coat hangers to the movie.
Oh.
And, like, hoot and holler during it.
Yeah.
And, like,
they
got, but the director, the cast, you can see some humility in, and they're kind of like, hey, you know, we're just happy you like it. For whatever reason you like it, we're happy you like it. The girl says that at one point. Mm. But the director doesn't seem to always get it. He seems almost depressed at times about why that people think it's such a joke of a movie.
But the real clincher is like the end of the story, which is like the next chapter of Birdemic, is that they've given this man, James, how do you say his name?
Nguyen. It's Nguyen.
They're giving him $20 million.
What?
They gave him the rights to the sequel, which is called Birdemic 2, The Resurrection 3D. Shot in 3D.
Yeah.
And $20 million.
You're a crazy person. Here's a 3D camera.
Yeah. Yes.
Go do whatever you want to do.
Hollywood needs the bad everyone out of this.
And it's
recession.
Just such like, and like, part of me was like, that's ridiculous. That's horrible. Part of me is like, you know what? Like, that is just to me that like as like someone who loves the idea of like little people
William Hung
it,
yeah
like the idea that this guy's out of his mind but like broke the fucking system.
Mm-hmm.
He like just threw it on its ass and it's like, okay, now I'm making the movie, it's gonna be horrible, but like I did something creative that I really wanted to do and bust my ass for 4 years, and now even though the original is like a laughing stock,
right,
you know, it's selling copies and people are renting it through Netflix and like there's web pages about it and all these reviews. It's crazy.
It's honestly like the setting we got to see it in was perfect. And if you were able to capture that again and go see it in a party or throw a party and like watch that movie, you'll have a blast watching it.
Mm-hmm.
If you rent it on Netflix to watch it by yourself at your house, you're going to hate that you ever put it on.
You might actually kill yourself.
It's that bad. It is really, really bad. Like,
I mean, like moaning the first 20 minutes.
The first 20 minutes, we weren't exaggerating, is him driving a car. Like, that's not like we're stretching how many minutes it is. We were timing it. As the movie was moving along, people were yelling out, like, has he been in the car 15 minutes now? And we're like, yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And just keeps going, just keeps going. Yeah, and it's a Movie Head production, by the way, if you have any question about whether Movie Head productions had anything to do with this, which is the guy who made the movie. But they show that name like 47 times in the lead up to the movie. It's truly
amazing.
Unique.
Yeah.
Definitely, I'm going to buy it.
Are you really?
I'm going to buy it.
So after all this, you're going to go buy
it? After all this, I'm going to support that man because I think he deserves it.
Are you
going to
get it on Blu-ray?
That's what we watched.
I'm going to get it on Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, because it's shot on, like, a fucking VHS handycam. Yeah. So I got to have Blu-ray quality.
And, like, so what Ash also learned, though, that explains a lot is that the director was so, tight-fisted with the movie, he actually didn't allow the actors to go off script either. So, and it's written very poorly.
The script.
So I started questioning, because I made the joke earlier, when he's selling solar panels, the way he says it is, would you like some solar panel?
Oh.
And I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. It's like solar panel.
Yeah.
Solar panel? You want a solar panel? I can sell you solar panel.
We started to wonder if the Caucasian male lead maybe had a little bit of the syndrome.
Or was just hammer drunk through the entire movie.
Because
every time he spoke, it was like, is something wrong with that guy? Like,
come over here, put on way.
Yeah. It's really weird. And they said that whenever they would say, and by the way, the guy, you know, very obviously heavily Vietnamese.
Yeah.
Because he's in the audience and people were asking about the different, why different birds did different things. And he starts saying it and he's like, that's why at the end, the dove show up. The D-O-V, dove. That would be the D-O-V-E dove that showed up at the end.
Oh, man.
And it's D-O-V dove.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, we're pretty sure he wrote Soul Panel, and then the actor was like, you mean Solar Panel?
And he's
because
like, no.
the other funny part is that we're watching all these extras at the end. The actor gets up at one point and he's like, hey everybody, I'm just so glad you're here, thanks for coming to watch the movie, have a blast watching it. And we were like,
this guy
can speak.
He can speak.
We thought
emotion.
Something wrong was wrong with him throughout this whole movie.
It's amazing.
It was like a guy, like, yeah, who I can't even explain.
Yeah,
but,
you have to watch the movie.
Yeah,
it is, but watch it in a group. Watch it with at least three other people. Don't watch it by yourself.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Or even with just you and your significant other.
Is it like a drinking thing? Like, if you drink by yourself, an alcoholic, if you watch this movie by yourself, you have some kind of other...
Yeah, yes.
You likes to watch Birdemic alone. Lies about watching Birdemic.
I'm going to go home and watch
Symptoms of Birdemic Depression.
But fun. I mean, the movie can be fun. It just was...
Not.
No, I mean, we had a blast. it's just not...
Sure.
It's not a solo movie.
Oh.
Not a solo movie.
Solo movie.
How does he say solar panel?
Solar panel. And there's other words, trust me. That was just the one he said probably 100 times in the movie. And it's just edited really poorly. The whole
some
thing
weird
is
ecological
just...
message. That, like, they tried to like interject it with this like message of like, you know, stay green, world peace. Like, the reason the birds are attacking is because of global warming.
Yeah,
like,
so, like,
weird...
sure.
At the very end, the birds leave because they've changed
person.
Their ways or
didn't
something like
M.
that.
Didn't M. Night Shyamalan and Alan do this
This
movie?
Is better than M. Night movie. Like, overall enjoyment level, this is, like, beyond...
We have a believer. He's a true believer.
That is awesome.
It's true.
All right, so from one awful thing to, is it another awful thing?
No.
Okay.
Good.
I don't think so. Very quickly, I just wanted to mention that I picked up the first expansion to the Resident Evil deck building game called Alliance. I think it addressed some of the complaints we had about the first game, which was that the game like was kind of linear in the sense that like you kind of picked a strategy and stuck with it. There weren't a lot of cards that affected other players in the game. What's up?
I was just thinking about my long drawn out strategy when we
played. Oh, yeah.
I was
going
to save money for the auto shotgun and then never get to use
never
it.
Yeah. So, and then in this expansion, they introduce a whole new set of mansion cards, abilities and actions and characters. And what you can do now is, there are monsters that actually have effects attached to them, whether you defeat them or not, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of the monsters had effects to them, which was cool.
They can.
I'm just gonna repeat what's
going to say. Let's see the new characters the characters have abilities that are somehow different than I feel like the game
characters
is,
had different abilities.
I kind of felt like the character abilities like drew upon a very small set of things that you could do
originally. Or
yeah. And, like, they kind of found more ways to, like, innovate and,
Do you get, like, level zero abilities?
I think there is a character that
which
has one.
Freaking needs.
Yeah, it needs something to differentiate the character a little bit before
in the beginning.
Level.
Yeah, yeah.
We did also, though, completely break the game.
Well,
we
still don't have the rules down, so we ended up, like, I cheated and Christina cheated.
Scott won 27-2, and we stopped the game early. Scott won...
It was, like, 27-18 to, like... Four.
Seven
four.
And four.
Yeah.
Four.
And I was like, this just doesn't feel balanced.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody beats you by 13 points in a game that's generally not that far apart, it's... And without killing the final boss, by the way, just, like, just beating up whoever showed up on the staff.
I think under ideal conditions, like, I think what was happening is that...
What I was going to say to that, though, is that I don't think the directions are very clear.
No.
They try to play this, like, munchkin game where it's like, do what you want, kind of, it seems like... Interpret the rules how you feel they should be interpreted, but then when you interpret them in certain ways, very obviously and very quickly, the game just completely shatters and somebody runs away or, like, the other person has no difficulties. Chrissy literally was going into battles with, like, okay, I'm going to do 120 damage. And you're like...
But we were most likely
with
playing
what?
Her
with three
rules
pistols
wrong too.
And a knife. And you're like, this is insane. How are you? So...
Yeah.
Is her character a pistol bonuses?
Yeah, but we were playing it wrong from the beginning. But it's that lack of clarity that I think this game should be more technical than it is.
But despite all that, I still enjoy playing the game.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like once we get the rules down and we can actually, what is actually supposed to be new in this game is you can take two characters into the mansion. So it's like a kind of like a buddy game now, mm-hmm. where it's like you can actually take an action to equip your secondary character with a weapon to carry all the time.
Yeah. So if you pull up like your automatic shotgun, you could have pulled up and been like, boom, put it on that guy, and you would always have it in battle. So if you could, you'd have to equip. You still have to ammo it, but at least it would always be there for you if you wanted to use it.
That's
and then
nice.
You can. They have their own health, so you can like put them in front, and they'll soak damage for you if you want.
That's
and
different. Yeah. When
seems
you go,
like it would make for a more
right.
engaging gameplay.
Yeah.
When you go into the mansion now,
you get their bonuses.
You say like who is going to be the lead going into the mansion, and that character takes the damage. And then to complement that, they added a bunch of new action cards, which
and the characters. A lot of the characters have bonuses.
Yeah, they implemented cards to support the dynamic of like having a partner on your team.
Okay.
And that seemed like a lot of fun. We didn't play it that way because I think we thought we were going to go through the game pretty quick.
Yeah, and I was
and
still trying
game
to combine
ended
the
up going
sets when
like,
you guys came over, so...
The game ended up going really long, and we just kind of jumped out of it.
Being?
Bandai. So it's, like, not even a game company. Like, it's not even,
well,
like...
Well, that could...
I mean, Bandai's been around.
I'm saying it's not even, like, a company that manufactures, like, these deck-building games
right.
or whatever, you know, so...
Well, that could attribute to some of the clarity issues.
Yeah.
Because I know,
yeah.
I mean, you know 40K, how the rule book can be a little ambiguous at times. And War Machine, another tabletop miniature game, the rules are a little bit more... written it's a British company versus an American company, and the American, like, we learn a specific way of reading things that are written by ourselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the way they write it is geared towards Americans, whereas the British,
well, I think, you know, we play Ascension and there's no ambiguity in Ascension. Like, you play it and you're like, this is how Ascension works.
I mean, it's
a
very simple game, though,
very lawyer-driven society where everything has to be written out specifically, so that way.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I don't mind house ruling stuff. It's just that it hit a point where we were house ruling like three,
everything,
four, five, six different things.
Yeah.
We were like, I don't know. I guess we'll just make a rule up for it. And it's like, if it's doing that, then it's way too much at that point.
My gun kills everything.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think once we tighten up the rules and try a partner game, I think it'll still be enjoyable. In the last,
we're going over the soundtracks next time.
Yeah.
But it still was enjoyable.
Right.
It just dragged. It started that a game like that is not. When we read the instructions, it's like 30 to 45 minutes. We were in the second hour of that game when I was like, let's just call it. And it's like you're playing Monopoly at that point. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And just one more side note: I have both sets, 250 cards each. I have 500 cards now. The packaging provides nothing to put those cards into. Like there's like a plastic like insert with like slots where you're supposed to put the cards in, but I sleeve my cards, and it's probably good I did because I hear online that the construction of the cards were cheap, so the cards warp easily, like right out of the package.
Wow.
And I think that's why
we
saw a card that was warped in a sleeve.
Yeah.
But I heard that there's actually a third expansion planned. But it's going to be a smaller one, and they're actually going to include a box to put the cards in.
Well, for next week, we might do a review of this one, right? We've got a new deck builder game we're going to give a shot.
Nightfall. Which,
It's like Vampires, Werewolves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of like, Chodes. it's a similar
Chodes.
Deck builder
Chodes.
Game.
Chuds.
with a different mechanic that we haven't seen before.
Cool.
So it's
a little more complex,
started.
It looks
I
like.
I like this deck building
looks
stuff.
Really fun. So the Mass Effect 4, number 4 of the series about the elusive man, came out on Wednesday last week, and I picked it up. The other comic that I picked up that I'll talk very briefly about it was the Tinkerbell comic came out too, and that was really good.
Was it?
Yeah,
good.
I highly recommend reading that one. But the Mass Effect comic, it's the same complaint I've kind of had through the whole four books, is just that right after I read the first one, I was like, oh, this is like they're kicking off the series, and then I read the second one, and I was like, they're not going to tell us anything, and they pretty much don't.
See, that's a bummer, you know, like...
And I know you're like, well, I want it to be in-game,
yeah.
And I'm sure there are much bigger reveals that'll be in-game, but I'm a little bummed that they did basically revealed almost nothing.
Really?
I mean, when you read the reveal in the second book, you have read the reveal that will happen for all four issues, and that's
so
kind of a
eyes,
bummer.
Essentially?
Yeah.
His eyes? Okay.
The way he gets his eyes, they show, and they kind of show some other... I mean, there's some other little like nuanced world things that they talk about in the show. A lot to do with the skull face dudes. What the hell's their names?
Oh, the Turians?
Turians. Yeah. A lot to do with the Turians. But they don't really ever get... There's no, like, kapow at the very end. It's just kind of like, and then he moved on with life. And you're like...
Okay. For, like, a piece of external media like that, like, my one expectation is, like, give me, like, one little nugget that I can go, like, oh, that's why he's like so-and-so, or that's why that's called that.
And that kept feeling like that was going to happen, like, Saren's in the book, and, like, they keep showing things, like, you're like, oh, and then it's like,
And that's why he's a dick, and it's like, just tell me something.
They never really expand. I would have been, honestly, I would have been totally fine if they didn't even reveal how he got his eyes, and they expanded upon the thing that I keep hoping they expand upon at some point, which is First Contact War, which is where it's kind of set, but it's set at the very, very end of the First Contact
War. Probably
gonna
be
it's
like
already
a,
ending at that
probably
point.
Probably going to be a Flash Facebook game for Mass Effect First Contact War.
But,
start playing, both of you.
You know what? Like, there's some good lore in it, and there's some awesome stuff about the world. It definitely adds a little bit to the universe, but it doesn't... If you're like me and you wanted to see something about the Elusive Man, you're going to get a very little bit... I think they marketed it wrong, honestly. They just needed to market it as, like, see some stuff that's going to happen at some point early on that you're never going to see otherwise.
Like, event.
And instead they're like, the Elusive Man and his crazy past. And then they're like, he was in a war and he had this thing happen.
At least
print
a DLC code
dudes.
On the last page of the fourth book. Unlocks the in-game item in Mass Effect 3. You know?
If you're a comic fan already, pick it up. You probably already did if you like both things. But otherwise...
I'll get it when it's all compiled. And
it will be. Probably in the next month.
Yeah.
Good deal.
There's also a secret rumor going around the three of us, which is a secret rumor, that we may shift time and schedule on this podcast too, because it's
really
wearing a little on us.
Oh, okay.
When we're underwearing.
We're gonna figure it out. But yeah. So sweet. That was episode 23.
Nice.
Done.
Sorry, you just kind of ended with a fizzle there, you know.
Shock and terror.
There we go.